Oh my, a lie is where we're at today. Go to 1 Kings 13. This one in Acts, you're going to be in your Bibles today. We will not have them on the screen for you. Some of the other scriptures we will. 1 Kings 13, and let me get you a chapter, verse. We'll just go at 1, 13:1. Father, we thank you for your word today. We know that it goes out and never comes back void. That means that there's something that's going to happen. You said when your word goes out, it's like rain falling. You know, the rain hits the grass, the rain hits the flowers, the snowflakes, it hits the flowers, and it goes to work. Parts of that bring moisture to a growing plant. And Father, we thank you for your work because like we said, and like you wrote, that it doesn't come back void. So open our hearts, Father. If we're looking at our phones for our cell, for our Bible today, great, Father, keep us focused on you. Lord, if there's something that you've got a word that needs to go out to somebody, have the folks in the audience listening online or here, just text that to somebody. Text a scripture verse or something that will encourage them along the way. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the technology to be able to deliver this thing on so many different formats, and we pray this in your name. Everybody said. Do you know why they say everybody said and you say amen? So you can get a sip of coffee in there during the amen. No, I'm kidding. It's not like that. All right. Kings. 1 Kings 13. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. Listen. We've got a man of God. When you see it say man of God like that, that is a man who has got a message from God that he is conscripted to deliver to somebody. And he's going to Bethel. You guys remember way back when we were studying through Genesis and from Ur, the Chaldeans, to Horem down to Bethel is where Abraham landed. This was the land that God said, look as far as you can see in any direction. Look at the dust on the ground. All of this is going to be yours. Bethel, Beth, means house of. El is God. House of God. He's in the house of God, and a man that's got a message from God is going there to deliver it to a guy whose name is Jeroboam, and he's a king, and he is a wicked and unrighteous king. His name means the guy that tripped up the Israelites or the man who made Israel sin. So we have a man who has no name, but he has a mission, man of God, bringing a word of the Lord to the people, and where he's bringing it to a message to a man who's causing the people to sin. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. What's happening here is Jeroboam is a wicked, wicked man. He has told, or it came to his own consideration, that the people needed something to worship. They needed something to worship. So he developed these golden calves. You know, you got Aaron thinking in the background here. He's got these golden calves, probably made of wood with a metal over the top of it, and gold lay over the top of that. And he's saying, look, we're going to plant one up way up north in Dan, and then we're going to plant one right here in Bethel. So let me get this straight. You think that people need somebody to worship, something to worship. You're right. They need somebody to worship. But you think they need something to worship, so you're going to put a golden calf, and you're going to burn incense under that calf? You guys know what it's like. You see when a management or ownership, as the ownership and management goes, so goes the company. You know, as the king goes, so goes the continent, right? Then he cried out, and so this man of God, in verse 2, then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah, by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. Well, listen, this high place they're talking about is probably 4 to 6 inches. It's not some grand high place. It's just a little bit higher up than the rest. But the reason this is coming about, you'll see in the end of this part of the chapter, is that Jeroboam, what he did was he consecrated whoever wanted to be a priest. It wasn't just from the Levitical tribe. It was anybody within the Jewish kingdom said, you want to be a priest? You're good. He even considered himself one. He even consecrated himself as such. And this guy is coming in, this prophet is coming in with the word of the Lord and saying exactly what's going to happen. Look, these men's bones are going to die under Josiah. And that did happen. I think it's like in chapter 22, 23, right in there. It's exactly what happened is what's going down. I love seeing the Lord. There's this strength to come in. You're talking to the king. You're talking to the wicked king. Go think of some ruler, some mayor, some governor, some president that you know that you don't agree with, and go tell him, because God gave you something, go tell him something to his face when he's going through the point of that worship right then and there. He said that same day. And he gave a sign that same day saying, this sign which the Lord has spoken, surely the altar will split apart and the ashes will fall off from it. So think of this. You have something from the word of the Lord. You've given that. You've gone on mission. You've gone from Judah to Bethel. You have. How do you know that it's the Lord talking? Because you had this relationship with him. You hear him speaking. You guys that have been walking with the Lord for even a short bit, if you're engaged with the Lord, you'll see things that are happening. The word will just dance to you. The Holy Spirit will bring stuff up. Well, that's what this guy is. We got a man of God bringing a man that brought sin to Israel and brought him down and bringing him this message while he's worshiping. You guys like being told what to do? Not a one of you do. I don't either. I'm in that number. But you know what? When God tells you to do something, you need to do it, or what happens? Fatality, right? Spiritual, or could be unto death. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard that saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, and he stretched out his arm from the altar and said, arrest him. Arrest him. But you know something? In Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So where a man sows, that he will also reap. As soon as he pointed that finger out to him, God gave him a little sign. He gave him a yavesh, meant that his hand dried up. You know, you guys know what it's like when you haven't had a lot of water to drink. You get a little tasted, maybe your tongue gets dry. This thing withered up. When he pointed, what was going on in his heart was in this decree of arresting him. Look what it says. He said, arrest him. And then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered so that he could not pull it back into himself in 1 Kings 13 and 4. He couldn't pull it back in. He stuck. Whatever was going on in his heart came out in this condemnation of his hand, and he lived by the sword, died by the sword, and boom, his hand was withered right then and there. The altar was also split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God, the deliverer of God's message to a person or a kingdom, had given by the word of the Lord. And then the king answered and said, O man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand might be restored. Okay, so here you are raising up all these quote-unquote small p priests that you have, out of your own righteousness, consecrated, including yourself. Now you're doing ashes unto the foreign god when God told you not to do that, and you're doing it anyway. And now when you sit there and you want to condemn the man of God of doing so, your hand withers because God withered it. And now you want to entreat, which means to go to the Lord with a great exuberance, just to plead and cry out to him. You know? But I think it's pretty neat that at least he sees, hey, go to your God and call out to him. And he did. He did. So the man entreated the Lord. He pleaded to him, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Then the king said to the man, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward. Come on, man. Gosh, this is so great. You don't hear anything about repentance, but what you see is a great amount of mercy. Because quite candidly, this Jeroboam should be put to death. But it's not his time. God could have put him to death, right? He could have withered his whole body. There's not enough emollient you can put on your hand to bring back that withering. But God brought it back to him in totality. And he showed mercy. For these here, for us here, when you hear people say, oh, the God of the Old Testament is not a merciful God. Are you kidding me? You built altars. You brought the Jewish people down, bro. You brought 10 tribes, 10 in the nation. You brought them all down with doing these types. You should throw those things out. You should break every high place that has an unholy altar on it. Sound like our own lives? So what did the guy do? He's like, you know, thanks, bro, but I got to dash. I got to do and dash because I got to go another way. I can't stay. So the man entreated the Lord. I'll repeat it. And the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. In 1 Kings 13.7, the king said to the man, come home, refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward. Dude, you've been out in the sun. You had to do all this stuff. You heal me. Come on in. I'll give you some food, and we'll give you some coin. Nope. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. And understand, half his house is not a home. It's half his land. It's all of it. His home is his reach. For the Lord, for so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return the same way you came. And he went another way and did not return the way he came to Bethel. So here we have this man of God who's there to deliver a message to the guy that tripped up Israel. We saw the altar break. The ashes came down. His hand withered, got restored, and he knows that he's not supposed to stay. He's got directs right from the Lord. He's got it from the word of the Lord. That means in this time it was spoken directly to him. So we got a prophet here, right? We got a guy. We got a man of God. Well, now the scene changes a little bit. We've got this in verse 11. Now, an old prophet that dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him about the works the man of God had done. This old prophet in Bethel. Old prophet in Bethel. That means he's lived there a long, long time. If Jeroboam has been taking this kingdom down, he's been a part of that taken down. He's been living in that taken down time for such a long time, right? And his sons came and told him what God had done that day in Bethel. They didn't tell him but anything what that man of God did. Well, here's a prophet who's probably quieted, and now he's inspired for whatever reason. They also told their father words which they had spoken to the king. All the things, very direct. Tear down this thing. Stop doing what you're doing. This is going to break ashes everywhere. Yada, yada, yada. He spoke what the Lord had for him. He spoke truth and righteousness to him. And the father said to them, it says, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man had God had went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled a donkey for him, and he rode on it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak, probably catching a little breather, right? And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he goes, I am. Then he said to him, come home and eat bread with me. Where does this old prophet live? Bethel, house of God? If he goes back, isn't he going back to where he was just told not to go and eat bread and drink? Right? Okay. And he knows that. So he's going to tell the guy this. And he said, I can't return with you, nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place, for I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. So he knows what the Lord's told him. Well, watch this. And he said to him, the old guy did, he said to him, I too am a prophet, and as you are, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat, drink, and water, and eat bread. No, dude, you're blaming an angel, and then you're using the word of the Lord, hooking it to an angel, and blaming him on that? The Lord's not going to contradict himself. He's not going to do that. He's going to bring it out. He's not going to say, oh, you know what? Listen to me, now go listen to this guy. No, you listen to me and stick with me. See, what's happening here, this guy is going now, his direction is turning over to Mr. Horizontal because he goes with him. Oh, and you talked to an angel brought you the word of the Lord. Dude, you've got direct pipeline over here, and now you're going to go listen to a knucklehead. He's lying. You got to stay vertical, Christian. Listen, you got to stay vertical in this. Don't be listening to people around. When God gives you a directive, you stay with it. You know, I spoke in first service. I'll speak to this. Some of you that are launching into ministries, some of you that are launching into starting churches, or you're wanting to become a pastor or a teacher, or you want to develop into, like I said, other ministries, whether it be sound or whatever it may be, children's, and God has something for you, you need to stick with that. I don't care if myself, Pastor Brent says something different, or anybody around you. If you know it's of God, you stay the course. I will tell you, when we started this place, many voices spoke many things. And you know what? God pulled up a stubborn redneck to come in here and do it, because I'm just as stubborn as the day is long for him. Mary would tell you for other things. But I'll tell you, you'll get the voices that will try to pull you from one side to another constantly. And they'll come from a position that looks like authority and not. And you need to make sure that you are solid with the Lord within it. He'll give you insight. He'll give you signs. You stay the course. Because what happens, you start listening to other men and other women that are pulling you off to the side. As soon as you're on this path with the Lord and you step off the path, you just got away from the Lord. Do you understand? You have to stay that path. Well, it's so hard to stay. I want to explore other stuff. You explore other stuff on His time, not your dime. He'll show you where to go. He'll take you places you have never seen before. He'll show you His majesty in ways you've never experienced. Your prayers will be answered because the ones He's giving you will be shown His glory to come out and to be satisfied. So don't be listening to the world. Don't be listening to worldly Christians. Well, that's kind of oxymoronic. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because what this guy told him was a lie. So what does that make him? A liar. So are you going to take counsel from the Lord who never can lie, or do you want to take counsel from a liar that is a prophet? I too am a prophet. Oh, good. Right? But this is what happens. And it says in parentheses, he was lying to him. So he, man of God, went back and ate bread in his house and drank water in Bethel. He never even got out of the region, and he's already back in. He just saw the Lord do all that stuff. Broken, ashes, withered, clean. Don't go. Keep going. Guy stops. Lie. Eat. Done. You just heard from him. It's like, okay, that was cool. Whoop. Oh, that was cool. Whoop. That was cool. And you've got all these different things that are pulling you from the center of God, what He wants you to do. Stop it. I'm not being harsh, believe me. I'm just being passionate about this. Stop it. And stay the course with the Lord. Don't be stupid. Because following a lie is sin, and sin makes you stupid. Say it. Sin makes you stupid. Thank you, Tom. So he went back with him, ate bread and had water. They feasted. Now, it's exactly as when he said, arrest him, and his hand withered. They sat down at the table, and what happens? The old dude, he says, now it happened as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet, not through some bogus angel. And you talk about mercy, that the Lord would even speak to this man again after he used his name in defamation. He used his name for his own righteousness, took it in vain, right? He actually spoke to him. You don't think he trembled a little bit when he heard the voice of the Lord? Who knows how long, being an old man in Bethel for a long time, it's been since he's heard from the Lord. And you had to so much lie to him to get this guy who's been doing some really cool stuff just to come into the room with you so you could rub shoulders with him, maybe autograph your tablet, stone tablet. What is that? And he cried out. Okay, so the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back, and he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, not an angel of the Lord. We got a direct now line. You guys have the Holy Spirit. You have the same. Because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, you have not kept the commandment which the Lord gave your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, drank water in the place which the Lord said. And can you see the man of God starting to wilt a little bit? Oh, I did that. You guys know, you guys have had stuff God's told you to do and you bailed on it, or you got distracted, or the butterflies went through your brain, or the squirrels ran through their squirrel cage of your brain, and you got off onto something else, and you didn't get to see the solution that God had for the problem. But you came back, ate bread, drank water, in the place what the Lord said to you, eat no bread, drink no water. And you know that guy heard the echoes. And your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. To be able to have your bones buried with your father is a great honor. It's an honor to your family. It's a privilege. To not have your bones buried with your father is, for lack of a term, accursed. It's a disgrace to your name. Think of that. And this is what's happening to him. Not only did he hear him, the Lord, reiterate through this guy who lied, but you're also hearing the words that he told you from before, and now part of your penalty is you're dead and you're not going to be buried with your kinfolk. That stinks. In 23, so it was after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it, and the lion also stood by the corpse. So dead, dead. Donkey standing there looking at him. Lion sitting there looking at him. Right? Done. The prophecy came true instantly. The thing about the altar breaking, instantly. The thing about the pointing, instantly. The healing, instantly. Sitting down to eat, instantly heard from God. Instantly dead. God don't play games. He loves you, but he don't play games. Remind that. Be reminded of that. 25, and there were men that passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road, and the lion standing by the corpse. And then when he told, then they went and told it in the city where the prophet dwelled. So they're going back to the city, coming through, they're seeing him, coming back to the city he should have never been in. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, is this the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord? You liar, you pulled him into that. You're part of that. You accomplice. Therefore, the Lord had delivered him to the lion and has torn him and killed him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to him. And he spoke his son, saying, saddle the donkey. And so they saddled it. And then he went and found the corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion standing in the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse nor torn the donkey. Why? Because he didn't have permission of the Lord to do so. This is an ink stamp. This is an exclamation point. He's still there. I don't know how long it took for the guys that saw him on the road. I don't know how long he was away from the guy from Bethel once he left and then got killed. A donkey and a lion sitting there. Guys go in. Story goes around the city. Dead. Saddle up the donkey. Come back out. And boom, they're still sitting there. But it's got to be more than 5 minutes. But they're still sitting there. And the lion doesn't have permission. No permission. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God and laid it on the donkey and brought it back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. Why to mourn? Because he knew he was a man of God. Why did he mourn? Because he knew he lied. Why did he mourn? Because God gave him the prophecy for not obeying. Key point here is lies, and lies have consequences. And this man is lying down because of a lie. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and he mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. So it was after he buried him that he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones, not with my father, lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines on the high places which are in the city of Samaria will surely come to pass. Long time living in Bethel. Old man living in the house of God. Long time living in the land of Abraham and never spoke out against Jeroboam until now. And it came at the expense of a man of God who did not obey what he had heard. How long are we going to continue to live in a city, in a town, where we don't speak out against wrong? Continue it, please. continue it. I'm not going to implore you. I'm just going to tell you. Speak out. Speak in love, but speak firm. Well, you're being so arrogant. No, I'm being confident. Arrogant, I can't prove anything. Confidence, I can. Arrogance is just arrogance. Arrogance is showboating. Confidence is we put our faith in the Lord and Almighty God. Why? Because now, look at this prophet. He's seeing the why. Should have been doing that all along, and I've been this wuss sitting in the rear with the gear and not even going to the Lord to get strength to go out and speak. And I got enough to sit there and lie his name to a guy and draw him off his path. He should have been on his guard. Double problem. And in a sense, he lied by not staying with the Lord, and he listened to somebody talking to an angel. Please, please, stop that. Will surely come to pass with Josiah. And as you guys know, wiped him out. After this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way, but again made priests of every class of people for the high places. Whoever wished, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this was the sin of the house of Jeroboam, so as to exterminate and destroy it from the face of the earth. Whew. Gone. How you like me now? That OT God's pretty tough, isn't he? Old Testament. Let's mosey on over and take a look at Acts. We'll kind of get into the New Testament. That's that good and gracious God. Yeah. Whew. Thank you, Lord. That's tough to hear. So go to, 4 and 32. Here's the scene. New Testament, right? All the stuff is done. Excuse me. They're hanging out. Can you pull that? I want people in their Bible. I don't want to have any words from this. We're all about each other. Everybody's sharing everything. They're not conscripted to share everything. They're just given everything. They're given to one another. They're given to one another in love. It's like, here, bro, you need a piece of bread? You need a tortilla? How about some green chili? How about a hot dog? How about a head of lettuce? Whatever. It's yours. No, it's not my house, man. It's everybody's house. This is what it's like in first century with the Christians. They weren't Christians. They were called the people of the way. Because he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. They are the way-ins, the people of the way. 32 of Acts 4. Now the multitude of those believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that, say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Everything was shared, right? And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Why? Because they are truly living day to day with him, right? Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the feet of the apostles, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. So they brought them in to holy and righteous men and clunked it down on their feet. They sold their houses. They sold their land. They brought anything of value in and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Can we reel this forward into 2018, 19, 20, and the years to come? Because that would be, and I want you to get this in your head. I want you to go just quick inventory, big ticket items for the moment. Everything that you currently own right now is sold and brought for the good of all. Now that's going to rub against your Western American culture, but we're not talking Western American culture. This is Middle Eastern culture. This is Jewish culture. This is now Jews become Christians and seeing what it's like to genuinely live heaven on earth. So I want you to think of what it's like to have your bank account exhausted, your cushy shell, safeguard for your future, your house and everything you own, that beautiful Chevy, Ford, whatever, fill in the blank, motorcycles, everything, gone. Livestock, gone. They shared everything, but obviously not their people. Women belong to their husbands belong to their wives. Gone. It's a different existence. It's a different understanding. There's a richness, a purity, and authenticity. Because everything we just talked about you no longer having is what it's going to be like in heaven. Because you will have nothing but the glory of God. Shekinah glory. That's all you'll have. And that's the best. And you know what? You're never going to think about the stuff that fit in the back of a pod or a U-Haul. That just won't even come to your mind any longer. Because everything will be satisfied for you. And you don't have to pay taxes. Yes, sir. Can I get amen? Don't worry, U.S. We pay our taxes. We're Christians. We're going to do so. So this is where we're at, right? Nobody suffered for a thing. But what about my Netflix? What about my tablet? You have the stone one in your pocket. What about, if you have to say what about, you don't quite understand yet, right? Watch this. Here's an example of what it looked like. A guy named Joseph, which they renamed Barnabas, which meant a great encourager. Here it is right here in 36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas, by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement. Now, hold on just a minute. Do you know people are around you that encourage you? Or come on, man, you can do it. You pat them on the back. Hang in there. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't give up. Just start calling B. Call him Barney. No, don't do that. You think of big purple things. Call him Barnabas. That's what they are. The encouragers of your life, right? Which his name translates son of encouragement. Capital S, capital E. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Little thing there I kind of looked at. You see, Levite, you're just going, wait, didn't the Levites, I thought they didn't own anything. Well, he may not have been a Levitical priest. That's fine. But he sold everything and he laid it at the feet. Why would he have done that? It wasn't decreed to them. It was the notion of their heart. They had been with the Lord. They needed nothing. They saw his provision. We read about it and believe. Right? You want to see a tale of two cities? But a certain man, you guys, many of you know the story, a man named Ananias and with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife, also being a part of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they come in there with their, let's just use $5,000. They kept $5,000 in their hip pocket, right? And the rest of it they laid at the feet and said, that's all of it. Now, could have they taken the $5,000 and said, look, we pull $5,000 out and we're giving you this? Yes. But it was a what? And what are they? Okay. So when say what? Dead. You're a dead liar. That was cute. Don't do it again. No, kidding. No, please always do. Oh, that was funny. They're liars. So if you lie, what are you? If you steal, what are you? A thief, right? If you do adultery, what are you? You know? Yeah, all the above. So if he would have brought the money in, the $5,000, and just put it down on the ground and left it as the whole and said that they had the $5,000, it would have been good, more than likely. It doesn't speak to that, so it's a bit of a read-in. They lay that down there, right? But since they kept the money back and did, it was construed as a lie. And look at Peter. Peter doesn't know what's going on, but he does. He has the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lived in him, and he lives in y'all, right? If you have received him as such, and in our baptisms we do that with the receiving portion to it. I'll read it again. 5:1, but a certain man named Ananias, Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the proceeds, his wife being aware of it, and brought the certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, he understands where it comes from, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of your land for yourself? Satan can't enter a full-bodied Christian, can he? He can only enter into what you give him. So he gave over unto him, and Satan will take what you give him. A pinky toe hold, he'll take it, and he's looking for a big toe hold. You give him a big toe hold, he's looking for a foot, a full body grip, and he wants all your life, right? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, in your hand, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? You knew what you were doing, sport. I know. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Have you not lied? You have not lied to men, but to God. See, he's not getting on to him and saying, you should have brought all that money because we wanted the money. And he's going, no. Why did you allow this thing to happen? That thing was the toehold. That thing was entertaining the lies of Satan, right? That thing was the thing that grieved Peter, because he wasn't worried about the money. He was worried about the thing, and that thing was lying to God, not men. Men are the outcropping of the lying to God. Do you understand? Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear among all those who heard these things, and the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Whoa, Dave, wait a minute. That's OT kind of stuff. We're in the NT, New Testament. Same God. He wants you to understand that this stuff means stuff. Lying is not new. How old is lying? It's the oldest sin in the Bible. It is the oldest sin. It's the most practiced sin in the Bible. You see these little kids, our little boy, little Xavier, he's going to grow up. He's going to have chocolate chip cookies all over his face. David, you get in the cookie. No, Mom. Or whatever little voice you. And you know he did it. And Mom's going to say, I just love you to pieces, you little liar. Right? They do that. Every kid does. Hazel did. Name any one of your names when you were little. You had something. You see the kids, they got something they ain't supposed to have. What are you doing? Nothing. What's behind your back? My hand. Let me see. Let me see your other hand. Right? They used to do that. It's old. Here comes a little liar. You're going to have chocolate chip cookies one day, little girl. He fell down and breathed his last. Everybody around got to see the authority of God, and a fear shot through them. They said, man, we ought to fly right, you know, straighten up and fly right. Now, it was about 3 hours later when the wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Did you pay for this amount? Yeah, I paid this amount. Cool. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you agreed together to test the Holy Spirit, to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are coming up to the door. And they'll carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in, found her dead, carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So fear came upon all the church and upon those hearing these things. You see what's going on here? Lies. Two different times, multiple outcomes. Our lies have consequences. To me, in my view, lying is the highest form of cowardice for the Christian man and the Christian woman. We expect it of the world, but of us, it's the high form of cowardice. And every time you tell a lie, I'm not talking about tempted to tell a lie, that you actually fall into the temptation and they become sin, and now you have lied, you die just a little bit. Your honor, she's speaking in tongues, your honor and your integrity has dropped a little bit. You guys any length of time know that there's a saying that I like, the coward dies a thousand deaths or thousands of deaths. The valiant dies but one. Now the coward and the valiant all share a mortal death that happens. But the dying of integrity, the dying of the missing out on doing things, the dying of going, gosh, I don't know, and the worry, and it's just like, I don't want, it is safe. I'll stay here. You know, I really can't tell that guy I'd help him move. I really would rather just be on the phone and watching Facebook all day than help him move. No, tell him that you're going to be on Facebook all day and you don't want to help him move. But I'm going to hurt their feelings. You already did, of God. Just be honest about it. Just come clean. Do I lie? Yes. Now? No. Don't ask me to tell you the truth. Don't ask me, honey, does that make me look big? It makes you look way big. Don't do that. I didn't have to add the word way. That was my emphasis. You're right, it does. I'm not going to lie. I told Mary when we first met, you guys have been with me a while. No, when I first met Mary Lou, I said, do not ask me if I look big in this or if this color makes me look big. I will tell you yes or no. If it doesn't, I'll tell you, but if it does, I'm not going to lie to you. I'll tell you exactly what. She don't do that. I said one other thing. If you want something, don't bat your eyes and don't come in with that fancy meal. None of that stuff works. Well. Liar. Actually, honestly, it doesn't work. It's like, I just come to me clean. Come to me clean and let's talk about it. This is just because I like her cooking. And I got to quit liking her cooking because I'm starting to get pretty good with it. Look, the bottom line is this. When you lie, you die these thousands of deaths. You don't have that. The valiant, the victor, maybe another word is said that way, is you running off in doing the things of God because he's got the outcome of this story, right? Lie? What does that do to the person receiving the lie? I have to tell you, if you lie to me, there's a big thing that comes right above your head and there's a dot right underneath it. It's a question mark. When you lie to me, I look at you now and go, you lied to me once, you'll do it again. And then you'll do it again. And then you'll do it again. And then you'll do it again. I'm not going to trust you. I'll still be friends with you. We'll still hang out. But the lies start surmounting. I'm just done. Because I don't have time for that baggage. And I have valiant things to do. While you're dying your thousands of deaths. I'm not speaking about anybody in general. The your is a broad brush and a generality. Are you listening online? Lying is not something that the Lord likes at all. I mean, in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, we're going to have these on the board for you. The six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him, right? Go ahead. When I hit about that third word, go ahead and bounce it. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. There's a desire to run towards evil. But look at that. Go back. Don't move forward. Go back. Back. Okay or not? This idea of deceiving others, one who sows discord among the brethren, are you kidding me? That's called lying. And the other one was a lie. There's two of them there he don't like. He hates lying. How old is it? Say, the oldest. May we get the next scripture, please? Next one in line. Great. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Instead, rejoice in truth. It's not easy telling the truth, but it's a heck of a lot easier than lying. And then you got to remember the lies. It's just goofy. Next one, please. Yeah, Psalm 119:6. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I love that. Because with the lying, you're no longer ashamed. Go ahead, next. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Go ahead. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from my lying lips, from my deceitful tongue. Next. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delights. Hold there, please. To deal truthfully, when you deal truthfully with honor, with integrity, with other people, you are right square center with the delight of the Lord. And when you are lying to him, you're not even on the dartboard. You got it? I love that part in there. Next one, please. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. So you bring shame to your name. You know, next, please. Ephesians 4:25, yeah. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Guys, you know, some of you guys have been in lawsuits or you've been at odds with other Christians. Stop that. Pray for each other. Get through these hard times. Don't sue each other. Work it out. If you've done damage, Christian A damages Christian B. Christian A owes Christian B something. Get it resolved. Christian B, once Christian A is done and resolve. Forgive them to begin with and work through the challenge. You don't need lawyers. You don't need the court to work through challenges. Now, I know, well, this guy murdered my son. Okay, now we're talking some other stuff here in our higher court of the land. But in most cases, people will carry burdens. One of them is they'll carry is that they will not speak to somebody when they have a problem. You know, you guys, you call the law when the dog's barking at your neighbor's house and it's not yours. Why don't you go over and talk to them? Well, I don't want to feel bad. Not knowing now, they don't know anybody in the whole neighborhood is wondering who called in on them. I'm not picking on the dog. It's just something that popped in. What are we at? 4:25. Can you go to Colossians 3:9, please? Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Do you understand whose language lying is? What is Satan called? So when you speak the words of Satan, which are lies, you are speaking his love language. Do you understand that? Because Satan loves lies. He loves deception. He loves mauling you, much like that lion mauled that guy, that man of God. Last one, please. Revelation 21:8. Thank you. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I think Jesus is kind of heavy duty on that stuff, right? John's given us some insight to what's going on there. Thank you. It's the oldest sin. It's been going on for years. The negative effects of a liar, you guys been lied to. We've talked about it before. You've been lied to. How you like that? You loving life now, right? I mean, let's face it. We talked about it earlier. All lie. Every one of us have lied and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Sin. Governments lie. Corporations lie. I'm sure there are people that have genuine good and desires, but they lie as a culture, right? The news lies. You know, the stuff you're getting on social media lies. A lot of those memes that you guys read, many of them are not true. But since they're in words and you've read them, you may think that they're true. Many of these people that you have said that said something never said that. So just kind of be mindful of that. God does not lie. He's in the truth business. Do you know what he says in John 14:6? I am the way and the life, and gets to the Father but through me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So if we're Christians, we need to follow that. I am the way, we need to live like his way lives. I am the truth, we need to be telling truth. And I am the life, we need to live again our lives like him. And that statement is a bold statement, but it is true. And it causes people dissension in their own moral moorings. And when they hear that he is, well, how can you be so hateful? I am not hateful. I am confident to know that I care enough about your soul to even let you know that. Do you want me to lie to you or do you want me to tell the truth? Have you ever told that to somebody? Would you rather me lie to you or want to know the truth? No, lie to me. I love lies. I just, oh, kiss, kiss. I love lies. No, they want to know the truth. It'll set you free. Do we have Exodus 20:16? If we don't, that's fine. This is, by the way, that was all the intro. Here's the message today. You must not tell lies about your neighbor. Can we get the other one? No, there was two of the Exodus 20:16s. You'll see it when it comes up. Don't bear false witness about your neighbor, ever. Ever. This is not where God wants you. Remember the context. God is speaking to a people group that came out from another culture. You are a people group that are in another culture. God was showing them for a first time how to have relationship with him, how to please him. You know how to please him. And we get to reflect on them just to be reminded we're not legally bound to the law, but we are in the sense of the law of God. And he wants us to love him with all our hearts. He wants us to do everything for him and love neighbors as if they were ours own. And you will not lie to somebody you love. So stop it if you are. You hear online? Stop it if you are. I get fed this too. Can we get the guys? People died because of lies. A little bit of your heart kind of dies away because of lies, doesn't it? Don't you hate it? I mean, really? Would you like to know the headline of the story? The man of God died by a lion. L-Y. Father, thank you for your words. Lies kill. The lion killed. Our lion kills. But what it kills is our relationship with you. Because one little lie will open the door and give permission to the next, and open the door and give permission to the next. And open the door and give permission to the next, and the next, and the next. And we can be carrying this bag of thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of lies, or a bag of two, or one. And we can walk with this bag on our shoulder, lying and lying and lying. But all we have to do is confess the lies. And right then, the bag drops, nothing to be held again. Right then, it's over. You bring us the hope. You bring us the solution to lies. And oh, you've heard every one of them. Probably a trillion times over times, trillion. And yet you forgive. You took that old man that was in Bethel that never spoke out against the unrighteous acts that was going on. And even though he was part of the unrighteous acts in telling a lie, you still showed him mercy and brought him to recognition of what honor truly mattered, which was honoring your word about breaking down the high places, the altars. I don't doubt that Ananias and Sapphira were believers in the Lord. They just were not allowed to linger. Best that they're with you and not be caught up in death of the earth. I pray that we get to see them in heaven. I do, and I know that we'll get to see them there because they were with you. They just had a bad time, a bad moment. They just did that piece wrong. We'll know then. I can see them at heaven's door. Ananias, are you Ananias? Are you Sapphira? Yeah, you made it. Oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah, they're woo. We're here. Thank God. Yeah. Thank Him. Yeah. This communion on Memorial Day we do in memory of you. Remembering that you died for our lying. Because you don't want us apart from you. And so many of the times when we were walking away from you, we were lying to ourselves. And yet you didn't let us stay there. And I'm so thankful for representatively of all in earshot. And we get to be reminded of your blood and the highest sacrifice spilt for our wrongs. Your body broken so that ours could be made whole. And even more than that, off the cross, that we have our path back to you. And thankful for that. So Lord, I want to thank you for raking out the leaves in our grass. I want to thank you for plucking the weeds out of us so that the grass can grow healthy. Father, I want to thank you for watering us with your word and your intent, and showing us how we can please you by being truthful. I've never had to apologize for anything I never said. Father, I want to thank you for our soldiers that have died. I want to thank you for their families. Father, again, as we prayed when we started, that you bring restoration and completion but unto you. Because that's the only resolve we'll have outside of anguish and anger and angst. Thank you for this day.